Hello, welcome to a Connecting Consciousness special interview. You know, from time to time, I'm very welcome to have guests. And many of you who listen to me and are aware of what we talk about will know of Sasha Stone, the ITNJ, and I've posted many of his webs and interviews, which you've probably had a chance to look at. So I'm very delighted that Sasha Stone's here today. We know 5G is an issue, but I think it's really becoming critically important that we all become fully aware and actually start to take some action. Now, Sasha's, and you all have known if you've seen the video that I posted, Sasha's worked very hard on that video. It's an excellent quality video, full of information. It's been done very professionally. So we're delighted to welcome him. And I know that 5G is something we'll talk about. So first of all, Sasha, thanks ever so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Simon. It's delightful to see you. Well, I saw you fairly recently, as it happens.
Yes, we popped down to visit you, didn't we? And it's great to pick it up. So that was a very social meeting, and this is obviously a little bit more business-like in the sense that the information that we have to give across, I think, is vital. So I don't think we really need to have you to introduce yourself, because the audience, my audience, will be very familiar with you. But what I would like to start off is you perhaps telling us how you became aware of 5G and the alarm bells that went off for you.
I'm not able to go fully into that, Simon. You know a little bit of the saga that occurred to me a couple of years ago, which I don't bring into the public domain. Sure. But suffice to say, I have a very personal experience with some of the more nefarious aspects of these technologies as it relates to the status quo, waging war against truth and disclosure and activists and so on. So I've had personal brushes with that aspect of the status quo, which have rendered me incapacitated in the past. And that led me to have a very personal a series of questions about what the devil's going on. I've also had meetings over the past 7 or 8 years with some members of the intelligence community, let's say, and I will emphasize more specifically Canadian, who have illustrated to me, to us, that certain technologies have been developed and were being developed, which seem to go contrary to any norms, that we're dealing with technologies that are being developed within the military industrial basement over many years now, which are able to track and trail people anywhere on Earth at any time. And this is, and lock and load. I mean, more specifically, the capacity to be able to lock and load and then use supercomputation to be able to track or trail a desired target anywhere on Earth. I mean, that really is what this all comes down to. The rest of it, the cover story that's sold to the world about 5G being a telecommunications technology is an absolute nonsense. Anyone who gives longer than half an hour's research onto this knows that we don't need faster gaming. We don't need to be able to download a Bollywood film in an eighth of a second. And none of that is going to be serving either people or planet. There's clearly some metadata, dragnet or Skynet surveillance agenda behind the rollout. A $20 trillion rollout, moreover. Let's be clear about the figures here. I think they're speaking in terms of 17 trillion, but let's be clear that by the time it goes live in most footprints, we're talking about a $20+ trillion technology rollout globally. Desperately serious stuff if you consider that none of it has been subjected to any health scrutiny or health testing. And that is the basic rub of the issue, that this is something which appears to be systemically designed to target the human genome.
Yes, thank you. I remember I did a conference, was a speaker with Miles Johnson. I'd come out of the conference and Lord Ivars came up to me, and he was talking about directed energy weapons, and he undid the jacket to show me all of these devices he was wearing, because he was telling me that he was often fired at from cars and hotel rooms, and how he had these devices which reduced the impact. And I'm also think back to 2013, I think it was, or 2012, when I had the tour around the space radar, because that was a phased array. And the understanding I got from that tour was that not only was this phased array facility able to detect, but it could identify and lock a target so that an energy beam weapon, maybe thousands of kilometers or thousands of miles away, could fire. Now, I seem to remember from the excellent video that you've produced that the circuitry is a phased array. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And it, Mark Steele is the crusader. It's more of a crusader than a campaigner, but he certainly is also a very active campaigning activist against the rollout of 5G. But Mark was the one who first brought this to our attention last year. And it's just fortunate that he managed to get hold of one of these antenna systems, or one of the circuit boards, which can palpably demonstrate, or let me say forensically demonstrate, that this is a weapon system, pure and simple. So what we've revealed in the film, 5G Apocalypse, the extinction event, is for the first time we've shown that circuitry and explained what it is. But yeah, Mark Steele is our weapons development expert who has informed really the genesis of the film that we just made and put out.
Thank you, Shasha. I mean, what we'll do when this actually goes out, we'll put a link, we'll put a link at the bottom so that people who haven't seen the film that you've made, they can go to that. The phased array is important, isn't it? Because unlike a traditional radar which spins or turns, the phased array is a solid state object that stays still, and yet it can almost see round corners. And I think that for me, that was a great alarm bell, because again, from the tour that I received and the information I got, it was explained that the signal can connect with other objects. And I think in the video you've made, you talk about LED lights and other objects. And I think that what I wanted, one of the many things I wanted to get across today, was the fact that it would be like having 100 spies in your house. People imagine one aerial, but that's not the case, is it, Sasha?
Well, if you consider, and if it bears out, as we absolutely believe it will and does, that the holograms inside all of the money that's being printed and the lens flare capacitors that are contained inside every LED light bulb in your house, and moreover, the nanotech RFID chipping or tagging of every single item that will shortly be available in supermarkets, for instance. They're looking to move from standardized barcoding to this kind of RFID nanotech tagging capability. And once that rolls out, then we're talking about not 100 spies in your room, Simon. We're talking about 10,000 spies in your house. And I think that's the issue. And then, of course, the capacity for these lens flare capacitors to receive the signaling coming into your home from any one of these lampposts, for instance, in the street, the photons being exploded into a billion different directions and really used as the means by which they can see you in the dark, almost like a hologram. Everything will be visible all of the time to this invisible mastery. Coupled, of course, one needs to consider with quantum computation. Right. What has quantum computation been waiting for? Well, almost certainly, it's been waiting for the carrier, which would be 5G. So there seems to be an overlay there between quantum computation and the rollout of 5G.
And though it's not widely known, I think from the information I've received over the last 5 years, the tiny pieces of aluminum that are being sprayed by chemtrailing are containing RFID information. So if that is ingested into our bodies, it means that we are numbered or tracked. And that, I think, is a very great concern, not just because of the pollution to us, but the fact that there is nowhere to hide.
nowhere to hide at all. And you consider going back 15 odd years, possibly 20 years and more since chemtrailing, the onset of chemtrailing. I don't know when the genesis was, but I certainly imagine it was ballpark 15, 20 years or so. So if you consider that, that we've had phosphates and bariums raining down on us, every single one of us, again, all the time, and those nanoparticulates embed into the human physiognomy, and there they remain. We know from observing some of the more insidious vaccinations that were being rolled out over 10 years ago that inside the snub-nosed needle of these vaccines were small nanotech nanobot devices that had transmission and reception capability, and they were sandwiching a kind of hardened silica gel. That silica gel contained lethal viruses or pathogens that could be leached into the human blood. And that was a decade or so ago, where the nanobot technology or the nanotech was sufficient to be able to be injected into the human body via a, let's say, World Health Organization batch coded vaccination to Mozambique or Uruguay or wherever. And when you got that vaccination, the nanobot inside the snub-nosed needle would inject into the body. It would snag onto the vein or onto the tissue. We also observed under microscopy that the little hexagonal shapes of the nanotech had microscopic hooks on the corners of the angles. And those hooks, we imagine, were designed to snag into the tissue or the vein and remain there so that they didn't flush through the system. What I'm driving at is that I've not seen electron microscopy of these nanoparticulates that are raining down through chemtrails. There are others out there who are far more active in that area of focus than I am. But one would imagine that you should be looking out for some of these elements, like the snagging capability, where these nanoparticulates do not and cannot flush through the system.
Thank you. One of the interesting things I learned from your film was that the French government have banned Wi-Fi from all of their nursery schools. I didn't know that, but today, I don't know if you've had a chance to catch the news, today the city of Brussels has banned 5G. Now,
yeah.
So, you know, we have to ask, how is it that one set of lawmakers, one set of parliamentarians in one city is prepared to do that and yet others are not? So, what is going on here, Sasha? Why is it, do you think, some countries or some places are prepared to do this and others are still trying to hide the truth?
Well, I'm not too sure of the answer to that. I mean, I think there's a crushing irony in the fact that Brussels, which is, you know, Lucifer Central in Europe, and in respect of consolidating and promulgating these globalist agendas, Brussels is the center game. But and it's ironic, is it not, that Brussels, that the mayor of Brussels is the first to outlaw. Either it's symptomatic of a very perfect form of divine geometry unfolding, which would be nice to think. On the other hand, it could be that the taskmasters of the mayoralty have said, oi, keep that away from us whilst we're genociding the rest of Europe. Keep us
I'll go for the latter one. I know there are some places in the south of France where the elite go and take their children with them. Some of these places are very well known for horse racing, and there are no masts in that area at all. So they are going to protect themselves as best they can.
Let me stop you there, if I may, Simon. Forgive me interrupting, but no, not as far as 5G is concerned. There is no protection.
Right, so they can't just blanket
the area. The satellites go live, courtesy of Mr. Zuckerberg and Mr. Musk and company. Right. Once they go live, there is not an inch on the surface of the earth that would be uncontaminated.
So the elite or the super elite, how are they going to protect themselves from the same that we're going to be suffering from, do you think?
If you were talking to the iconic physicist Dan Winter, who's made a very healthy study of draconian bloodlines, he would tell you that these creatures are methane-breathing serpents. Yes. And actually are inured to certain things that would otherwise harm the human biotechnology. But I'm not sure of the answer. I would imagine that it is quite possible to protect oneself against it. In fact, I know it's possible. I know that there is We're capable of creating, using a microbial formula, an electrochemical charge around the cellular matrix, which can fully protect against ionized and non-ionized radiation. And yes, that is something we are directly involved with, one of the world's leading scientists in developing and bringing forth. But and I'm not worried about that. Even if we can protect every living man, woman, and child on the planet, we still need to consider protecting the biome of the oil, of the air, the soil, and the water, because it's the interrelated microbial flora and fauna of the soil and of the oceans and of the air that makes up the planetary software. So that the big consideration is actually the entire ecosystem and not so much the human biotechnology. Humans need to be protected against these things, but we do have an extraordinary capacity at the level of the expression of the genome to be able to shapeshift and to be able to throw the devil off our back. We've seen this with HIV/AIDS, which we know was designed to target the blackest of the black genome and failed. Ultimately, a dismal failure on the part of the eugenics agenda. But the same thing could be said of bovine flu and swine flu and avian flu, all of these other engineered pathogens and viruses, which also took down some real collateral damage in respect of the human collateral. But within a very short space of time, the human morphogenetic grid activates, meaning to say those people who are suffering or subjected to that virus, when their body is under attack, they put out signals. This I would ascribe this to psionic intelligence issuing out of the center of the gut, which again is a frequency. And those frequencies or SOS frequencies are thrown out. And through morphogenesis, the antidote is found. And very quickly, there is a shape-shifting that occurs at the almost at the noospheric level, which means that the human family adapts to that particular threat, it evolves beyond the threat capability and continues on with its own evolutionary passage. So we've seen that a number of times. I would suggest that you would need to look back at Spanish influenza as being the start point of the Jesuitical devise as it relates to engineered genocide. And the Spanish flu till today, that should be a study in how the human genome at the collective level is able to continuously evade and move beyond the existential threat, whatever that threat is.
That I totally agree. But let's look at something that's not quite as capable as us. I know of one company on the earth that can produce seeds that don't require pollinators. And of course, if all the pollinators were wiped out, Sasha, this company would not only make the profit, it would have a weapon to hold against every country on the planet to provide food or not.
Indeed, I'm fully aware of this as well. I don't personally have too much concern about a negative outcome. Again, I think that we're dealing now with intrinsic intelligence at the planetary level, at the level of the brain of Tara, of this earth, this living earth, as well as, again, through morphogenesis, the living brain of the collective human frequency, let's say the human heart frequency or psionic frequency. That is something else altogether. That thing is cohered to the divine signature. And ultimately, all of this butchery and evil, it will unto itself as ever it does.
Looking at a timeline, would you agree with me around 18 months before it's supposed to go fully live?
The United Kingdom, I understand, are looking to rush the gate on that and even have it live by the end of this year. In fact, you'll find all around the world these elements are calling for a quicker rollout. They don't want to wait for 2020, 2021. They really do want to start. In fact, they have started going live, I understand, with testbed scenarios. You'd want to look at Bristol in the United States. The United Kingdom. I believe that Bristol was used as a testbed. I understand that Gateshead Borough is being used as a testbed. So it's already, in that sense, underway. when does the uniform signature go live? I really couldn't say. Whether it's 2020 or 2021, I don't know. I don't think anyone knows the answer to that. And I think that there is so much, such a resurgence now of awakening and antipathy to the rollout of 5G. I think they're going to have a really hard time hitting that switch.
I totally agree with you. You mentioned Bristol. To my understanding, it was one of the leading test areas in Britain. And during that test period, I understand a number of students at the local university committed suicide.
I believe it was 30 or 31 students committed suicide.
That's
that was
horrendous.
The argument given that it was connected to some kind of student loan credit systems that had been implemented, and all of a sudden these students committed suicide. Well, that's patent bullshit.
Yes.
It was almost certainly connected to test bedding of the 5G signaling. Now, understand that when the signature goes live, what it does, the first thing it's going to target is the microbial DNA. The microbiome or macrobiome, the biome of the human body, is nested principally in the gastrointestine. This is where mood and appetite, addictions, all of these things are triggered from the gut, essentially. So when that signature goes live, the microbial flora and fauna nested mostly in the human gastrointestine is going to be most affected most quickly. That means that the mirror neurons in the gut are going to trigger behavioral anomalies in the human brain. And if you are of a sensitive disposition, if you do have depressive tendencies or bipolar tendencies or even suicidal tendencies, it could well be that that signature is the thing that triggers the action. So that's the chemistry of what's going on with how you can commit suicide as a result of a frequency.
The point I think that's totally disgusting is that so many of those suicides then were not covered up, perhaps, but were not investigated. And when the truth perhaps was known, they made sure they didn't publish that. And that is just an indicative sign of the corruption and the evil that has permeated most all levels of government. And, you know, Sasha, I totally agree with you. I don't believe this will actually get to the point where they can roll it out. But I think that these stories need to be connected so that people know about the birds falling out of the sky in one part of the world and students committing suicide and people with nosebleeds. It's about, you know, bringing this together and coordinating it. Do you actually think that there will be one country more than another that might lead this? Or do you think this is just going to be a human conscious wave that will act action in just say a couple of months' time?
Well, I don't underestimate the power of human consciousness when it hits that uniform threshold at the collective level. I don't underestimate the power of that. That is the stuff that steers galaxies. So no question about the imperative and the power of the human heart, mind, and consciousness. But I couldn't say. I think that the United States, which has been weaponized and readied for the planetary holocaust, because we know full well about the entire pathology of the United States corporation. It's an Anglo-Vatican exercise, essentially a Jesuitical enterprise of long-standing, and always intended to collectivize the human genome in America, potboil it down, and begin that great big eugenics experiment, the big human experiment, and use United States of America essentially as the cauldron, and at the same time to build the United States of America up into the big weapon that could bludgeon every other nation on earth into submission to those globalist protocols. So America has been set up for the fall, which is why I don't go anywhere without my American flag scarf, constantly wear it. My heart is constantly with my American brothers and sisters, because I know enough to know that they've been set up for the fall. And that I also believe that that's where the antidote to this diabolical enterprise issued from, from the common pulse of Midwest America, which occurred round about the time that Trump rose to his ascendancy. And there's some beautiful obverse geometry contained in that story of Trump against all odds, rising up out of the ashes like a phoenix. And now if one studies the executive presidential orders and doesn't pay any attention to the mainstream media bullshit, you can see quite clearly what the Trump machine is doing, and that it does work at the behest of the common human pulse. That is the only thing to my mind that matters right now. I think that America will be the one to, as opposed to lead the way in furthering the Jesuitical globalist agenda, I believe that the United States of America, courtesy of the incumbency, is on the brink of reclaiming the planet from that globalist trend. I have no doubt in my mind, in fact, that that's the case. So having said that, my concern is for the collateral damage that does and will always occur in the developing world. We've seen it time and time again. And when I say the developing world, I'm not just talking about Eritrea, Central African Republic, and Uruguay, and Cambodia, or Myanmar. I'm talking about Gateshead Borough in north of England. That's a developing micronation. That is a bastardized, poor district, disenfranchised, cut off from the liberal, intellectual, privileged West. We have many micronations like that in Spain, in Canada, all around the so-called developing or first world. We have these enormous pockets of disenfranchisement, of poverty, of misery, of abject disease and poverty, and no means of escaping it. None. So compartmentalized. That's also part of the developing world that I'm talking about, because those pockets are being targeted. If there are eugenics experiments going on, you can bet they're taking place in the projects way before we see them happening in Central South America or in Africa. They normally start in our own backyard. Gateshead Borough, or Gateshead, is a classic example. Why are they chopping down all these trees that are 200 or 300 years? I mean, every single tree is being hacked down. There's no disease. The trees are anchoring positive dielectric and paramagnetic forces able to somewhat dilute the horror of the 5G frequencies. So if they are using Gateshead as a test bed, chopping down the trees is step one to be able to dial into the frequency of the human genome, which is exactly what you can do at this level. You can dial into the human DNA and the frequency of a DNA. You can arrest a human being in their own home, by best accounts, prevent people from walking out of their front door and protesting. As Barry Trower states so elegantly on the film that I just put out, this is the perfect weapon and technology for any government.
Who's providing the money? Sasha, who?
You and I are. That's patently clear. We always did. We always will, because we are the great unwashed. We are the sacrifice of innocence. Of course, the crushing irony being we are the ones who are sacrificing ourselves, in as much as we are offering ourselves up for sacrifice and not arguing the point and not challenging the status quo and still paying the taxes and still cowering behind the sofa every time there's a knock on the door. So I would suggest that it is it's you and I.
Okay, well, who are the individuals who are channeling that money? You mentioned a couple of names earlier, didn't you?
I'm not certain about the names. I mean, one refers in almost a sweeping way to the Babylonian priesthood, as I've done for many, many years now. But the Babylonian priesthood is almost certainly the echelon, highly compartmentalized echelon that is driving the agenda. We could probably circumscribe them and narrow it down. And I dare say in the months and years to come, we will certainly be doing that. We know more or less which element or elements within our social construct are engineering genocide and engineering ecocide, we more or less know where those elements are nested, and how they operate through the corporatocracy, how they operate through mainstream media and academia, having weaponized those as well into diabolical propaganda machines. And we know that even worse than that, that there are deeply embedded occultic reasons for conducting a genocide. You talk about the letting of blood at the collective level. If you go back and study, as I have done, and as some of my crew have done over the last few years, you go back and study the big battles, the big wars, and the war zones, where those big battles took place, the culling of 200,000 souls, for instance, in Iraq on the retreat from Kuwait under the George Bush Senior regime. If you recall, when Saddam Hussein had been tricked, being told, move in on Kuwait and you can take the spoils of war as part of one of your old dependencies.
We won't do anything to stop
indeed,
you.
Yes. Indeed. And of course, Saddam Hussein went in, claimed Kuwait, and then realized that he'd been dobbed in, that it was a setup. And 200,000 young kids in his soldiers had to retreat back to Baghdad with rusty guns. I mean, they couldn't even bloody work these guns. And the kids were carpet bombed. You go back and study exactly where they were carpet bombed by Bush. Study the sun, moon, and stars of that day and how many souls were massacred. That was Babylonian ritual 101.
Yes, and these people, I totally agree with you. These people have the power to organize all these rockets that are being launched from many countries to put these satellites up. They are talking hundreds of satellites that over the last few months have been launched. Specifically to rain 5G down on us.
20,000 to be 20,000.
I didn't know the figure, 20,000. I didn't know the figure and knew it was a great deal. So we're looking at an organization that is ages old, that's had thousands of years to practice and to trick people and get ready for it. But Sasha, I actually share with you that the human consciousness will actually outperform these creatures because they are they're stayed in their vision. They don't create, they just follow through. So I hope that there is a time of a reckoning where these people who are, you know, wantingly and willingly, I know there's a lots of people who don't know, but maybe that's not a defense in law, but the people that are behind this, they will actually have to answer for what they've done. And I think that when people begin to realize what's happening, I actually am very positive about the future. I don't think there's going to be an apocalyptic wipeout as long as people work together. If people continue to put their head in the sand, then we might have a problem. So do you share my hope for the future, Sasha? Do you think that things will work out well in the end?
I do. I've been maintaining for some time that I believe that the battle is already won. The war is already won, at least. The battle perhaps not yet won in some cases. But no, I believe that we've already pretty much arrived on dry shore. That does very much feel as though we're still passing through the Rubicon, but it is my contention that we've already arrived and we're living in the shadow of time still. So the falling away of the mask of the apocalypse is still something very needful as a psycho-spiritual exercise for many of us to go through, because we need to fully shed ourselves and rid ourselves of the imprint of the fallen light of Atlantis that has been the carrier of our soul expression for so many generations, so many lifetimes, so many, let's say, galactic cycles. It is now needful that we at least apprehend and see the full reflection of that galactic sleep cycle, and then shake it in order to be able to shake it off fully, transpose it, transmute it, and then transcend into the other. And the other, in my view, is that beautiful galactic day, which doesn't have any anchoring in the past when we are able to completely excise ourselves from the karmic cycles or the karmic laws and move fully into a zero point field of expression, which will always and only be predicated on expansiveness and on affirmation, on creativity. And of course, that means an absolute cognition and understanding that we are creator and that there was never a separation between us and the creator principle. So that is the most needful principle to realize and to then embody, is that there never was any separation. That the separation was the myth, and myth became the thing known as time, necessarily.
Oh, we lost the sound.
There you go. And now that we've moved beyond the thrall of time and are certainly blinking into that new horizon, we need to fully own it and not be shaken in that. This is the great problem I'm seeing with a great many people around me, is that they know this to be true. They understand the divine flame. They understand the need to completely own all of it, and yet are still quaking internally and not quite stepping into it. And that's part of the end stage of the tribulation that we're going through. It's difficult to behold the true majesty of who and what we are, because it's so limitless, so immeasurable, and so ineffable.
So cut the threads of control that hook us right back, but not forget the history of humanity. Throw off things like religion, which have played a lead role in separating, I would say, humankind, from the physical and the spiritual by dividing it. Now, maybe this waking up to 5G, Sashi, could be the spark that actually throws the yoke off the human race.
That is exactly the point of it. And that is why I'm embracing this whole meme of 5G, because to my mind and to my inner wisdom flame, that's precisely what it is. If we talk about the fallen light of Atlantis being the stuff that we need to now transmute and transcend, you don't get more black and white in respect of Atlantean fire than a weaponized frequency that can eviscerate the microbial DNA in our operating system. So we're talking about end game in the most explicit sense possible. And I would agree with you that it's precisely that degree and extent of an existential threat that is required to bring about the other and to catalyze that epic shift within our inner cognition of who and what we are. But yes, like you, Simon, I have every faith in the human genome.
Well, great. I mean, it's about the last 5 years I've said it's got to take something big. It's got to be something that people have been forced to make a choice. And there'll be no hiding from it, no putting it off till tomorrow. And that moment, that shift, will see a remarkable change. And I certainly agree with you that, you know, perhaps we will stop seeing time in a linear fashion and see it more as an oval or a figure of eight. But that conceptual change will be a shock to many, but it'll be the freedom for all of us. And maybe that's what this small band of brotherhood, this elite evil group, maybe that's what they fear. Maybe they fear the time when the majority actually has the knowledge. And so they've sought for so long, haven't they, Sasha, to prevent the majority having the knowledge. So maybe this is their last throw. Do you think this is their last chance?
Well, in a very real sense, I would sooner apprehend that Babylonian Mysterium cult, that brotherhood of nefarious and egregious enterprise. I would sooner acknowledge them, apprehend them, salute them, bow to them before I withdraw my attention from them. But in the full knowledge that they only ever manifested in proportion to the degree to which I was absent in self and I was unable to reconcile aspects of the greater self, in which case I'm acknowledging and bowing to them as one would a strict teacher or mentor, in a sense, moving through the galactic tailspin. It's probably been very necessary and very needful for many of us to have these explicit archetypes manifested in the temporal realm in order to reflect our divinity back to ourselves in the truest sense. So I see all the nefarious and egregious things that happen in this world as being part of that obverse geometry that necessarily reflects back to us aspects of ourselves that are unreconciled or unresolved. And now that there is this deep sense of resolution, comes with that a tremendous sense of restitution, and the great renaissance appears to be upon us. I certainly sense it. I feel it as a scintillating energy form, wave form that is constantly growing. And I would say that it's been expressly in the last few years. And without wanting to get too dramatic about it, I think that the long count Sulcan of the Mayans and the 2012-2013 crossover meme absolutely demarcated that trigger in this new photonic light or vibral light that is bombarding our quadrant of the multiverse, let's say.
Well, a heck of a lot in that one, Sasha. I totally agree with you. When we broke through the 12-13 barrier, for me, that was it. We did it in the sense that there was no going back. But what's to become of the hydrogen-breathing creatures once humanity knows all?
I have no idea. I understand enough about advanced electrochemistry, phase conjugation, phase coherence, to know that it is possible to make mutancy blink out of existence. One can use an electrochemistry form to completely remediate depleted uranium, which is supposed to hang around for 500,000 years, its half-life. And yet, the right electrochemistry, not entirely removed from the fractal energy forms that issue off cannabis and hemp, if that is put to use and purposed in the right way, the electrochemical charge will literally blink out of existence the negative or entropic elements of the depleted uranium. In the same context, one suggests that once the collective human heart psionic frequency reaches its threshold, that noosphere is activated, at that point we're likely to see a similar galactic electrochemical charge occur, which will quite literally blink out of existence the entropic and parasitic elements of the temporal realm. That is my belief based on what I have observed and witnessed in my time in this world. It's not based on hypothesis or conjecture, because I've seen how that plays out in different ways.
I think I totally agree. I think that that's where the human race then moves on to its next stage of evolution. So writing to our MP to complain probably isn't going to do much good. So
good luck to them.
Well, what's the best way, do you think? I mean, we don't want to be done for inciting violence, but what is the best way for people to register their awareness and their knowledge and their total antipathy towards 5G? Do you think we should?
Well, I mean, I think one needs to consider that the idiocy that prevails with policymakers and with parliamentarians and so-called leadership at the municipal and at the federal or governmental level is such that it is itself conducting tremendous violence against the proletariat, against the population. And I think that one in one's right mind ought to protect oneself from violence in any way that you can. And certainly if your babies and your children and more frail members of your community or society are being assailed and murdered, essentially, through bad policy making, that you need to move on the front foot and do something about it. In the film that I just released, one of the justices from the International Tribunal for Natural Justice argues there that what we're seeing with 5G is a perfect scenario for people to legitimately and lawfully move onto the front foot and begin private prosecutions against the ministers responsible, the so-called authorities, public officials responsible. Who are those individuals, those bureaucrats and those technocrats, those policymakers, those parliamentarians whose wet ink signatures are responsible for ratifying the contracts and for rolling out the technology? That's really what we ought to be looking at. So I suggest that we do all move on to the front foot and take the fight to the man. Don't wait for the great cull to begin. We should, in any event, be insisting at the local level that we have coherent health testing done before there's any implementation of the technology in our own neighborhood. But that requires people to step out of their apathy, out of their pedestrian torpor. That's the problem, is that we have been so essentially downgraded, as Rudolf Steiner mentioned back in the 1920s, that we were being downgraded as a direct result of electrification, the electromagnetic frequency waveforms that were being proliferating into the urban landscape, into the developing world. Even in the 1920s and 30s, were of such an order of magnitude that they were palpably and provably, demonstrably reducing the capacity of human beings to think for themselves. Well, march that on for another 75, 85 years and bring us to today, another 100 years almost, and we are in that state. In an endemic sense, we have been downgraded, mutated into stupefaction, idiocy, whereupon we are unable to take decisions even as they relate to us protecting our own lives. It's an outrage. I mean, we ought to be, you talk about violence, we ought to be picking up pitchforks and anything with a pointy end and going directly at the citadel and kicking our way into it and dragging these technocratic and bureaucratic demons and or idiots variously into the market square and giving them a bloody good hiding. Yeah, it's going to come to that if we're unable to be heard through the normal processes of democracy. And don't even start me on that bit, because we all know that democracy doesn't work.
Indeed. I mean, in the film that, you know, we will put the link on with this, so people who haven't seen it will be able to watch that excellent film. And I really do say that you must watch it. One of the guys who has a great knowledge you showed took hold of an armored personnel carrier and drove it and knocked down five or six of these cell towers. And I know
what a hero he is and what a hero he was, and history will reflect. Yes. that man was a Spartacus, absolutely.
And if you think in this country, Great Britain, when the speed cameras first went up, large numbers of people took steel saws and literally chopped down the poles. Now, when this truth regarding 5G comes out, it'll be very interesting when, let us just have a standard picture here of a husband and a wife and two children, and the child's maybe baby of 6 months old and another child of 8 or 9 years old. And then they see one of these towers or one of these boxes being placed out there. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they went out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, they absolutely should do. Let's not beat about the bush. Right action suggests that you protect yourself against an existential threat. Yeah. If you don't protect yourself against an existential threat, and more than that, protect your family, then that is wrong action. And if there's one thing a human being is, we are an arbiter of conscience. We're an arbiter of right action over wrong action. And don't let any fucking government tell you otherwise.
Quite right. absolutely quite right. The fact is that the days are gone when somebody would come in and protect us. Those days, if they ever existed, are just a figment of imagination. And
oh, Simon, health and safety is a quadrillion-dollar technology and enterprise set up there precisely in order to step in and take the body blow for you.
Absolutely. And I was writing on this Brexit business in Great Britain to somebody who was very, I'm not being disrespectful, they were very proud that they had been one of this 1 million people who had marched through the streets. And I said, do you honestly think that a single politician is going to take the slightest bit of notice? And he was quite shocked. And I said, you've just been taught that as long as you're not violent, you will bring change. And here we are weeks later after that march. I said, what change has it brought? Absolutely none. And when people begin to realize that the way that they've been shown to demonstrate is purely a simple psyops to let them think they've had some form of impact on government. So yeah. I think that will be a wake up as well. People will realize they're being manipulated, Sasha.
Well, you know, most of the work that we've been doing with the New Earth Project and increasingly now with the International Tribunal and certainly the work I've been doing in Humanitad at the diplomatic level and lobbying has been to try to draw attention to the fact that we are at war in this world between the fiction and the organic, or the living and the fictitious. The fictitious, of course, being government and being the corporation. Corporation and government are very much one and the same thing. They are a dead entity that are given supremacy, have somehow managed to usurp the supremacy of expression. Yeah. So a government has the power to subjugate and ultimately murder the living flesh. Well, if you consider how insane that is, just for a moment, how could a fiction ever manage to conjure up the power to have the decision of life or death over the living? And yet that's exactly what we have evolved into as part of a repressive galactic a civilizational cycle. Now that we recognize that, it behooves us to step outside of the fiction. And the work I've been doing and we've been doing has been to teach people, educate people about the fallacy and how to then go about in the mechanical sense of stepping away from the fiction, reclaiming the straw man, being able to apprehend and challenge the government, to decouple, deregister oneself from the system, to stop paying into the system, because it is the registrations and the taxes that are the contract and the blood supply of that servitude, that enslavement. So do you want to continue to be subjugated and enslaved and harvested, or do you not? That is a very simple question. The answer is also incredibly simple. And I hear a chorus of 99.999% of humans shouting, nay, nay, we do not wish to be slaves. And yet, we are the harbingers of our own slavery, because we register everything to the crown and to the state. We do it without questioning what we're doing. And we pay the taxes. We pay the tribute to Caesar. And we never cease to pay the tribute to Caesar. Even when Caesar incrementally puts more and more stealth taxes into our lives, up until the point where we are actually indentured many centuries into the future, and our children and our children's children themselves will be enslaved into debt in the future as a result of the decisions we're making and taking today, and the powers that we're granting to government, and moreover to the multilateral arena of government, not even local, not domestic. The United Nations, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the World Health Organization, these great, big, grotesque, elemental clouds that exist somewhere over there and yet have managed to usurp all the power and are enlivened and sustained by our own sacrifice, our time and our motion.
And I think that that's not really been fully understood until now. Many people have said to me that they wanted off-planet entities to come and save the human race. And what I've said to them is, when I've had discussions with them, these off-planet entities, they say to me, but you must allow this. You must have wanted this to happen, because how can a few hundred impose the will over so many of you? You've agreed to it. You're agreeing. You're letting them do it. And I think that's the point. For the last 8 years, I've said to people, stop waiting for Custer and the 7th Cavalry. You are the 7th Cavalry. It's you that are going to make the change. It's you that have got to do this. And for so long, Sasha, the human race has been taught that it's a victim. It's been taught it's powerless, that it has to have respect for those that are better than it. And I think, and I truly believe, that we're coming to a time now where people will say, no longer. And I think that the video that you've done, the work that others have done, will begin this ball that's already rolling, but give you that extra shove. So we're drawing to the end now, and I wanted to thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything that we or you need to say that we haven't covered that would be a help to people?
No, I like the fact that we've resolved to the point and the principle of sovereignty, because of course that is the alpha and that is the omega. That is why we were born to this world, to discover and to remember that majesty of who and what we are. And in remembering the majesty of who and what we are, to step outside of being the indentured, the enslaved, the victimized, and move into being the creator and determining the outcomes in this this beautiful realm of expression. And thank you also for drawing attention to the film, which I need to add was masterfully composed, put together by Guiche Soto, my beloved editor. We've worked hard on it for 5 months, and I dare say there'll be another one coming out, because there's another story to 5G, which is not told, and that is to do with the antidote. That is to do with the stuff you and I have been speaking about, Simon. Why is it that this extraordinary existential threat as a planetary meme has just rolled into us like a tidal wave? This is almost like another deluge of the biblical times. It is something that's so inexplicable, so epic, and it's coming as this huge cloak of doom. And yet, it's the very thing that you and I in this conversation are using to offset and re-identify our humanness and our true power. So therein lies the beauty of the 5G apocalypse.
Listen, Sasha, lots of love to you. Thank you so much. And just to remind everyone that when this goes out, the link to Sasha's film will be there. And when you've watched this, please watch it and share it widely. So, Sasha, thank you ever so much. God bless to you, and chat to you soon.
Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.